Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 10th of August, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, well, sort of mixed to steady. The Hong Kong Hang Seng Index had one of the best gains, helped by the U.S. unemployment figures that we had on Friday. And in Europe, most of the stock markets were a little bit lower. Very modest declines of under 1% for the most part. And there was one exception. The Italian MIB index was a little bit firmer. And Wall Street, this stayed in the minus column pretty well for the whole day, but paired the losses towards the close. And I noticed that the S&P future actually ended up a point on the day. And elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices were firmer today. The Treasury 30-year long bond futures were up over a point. The dollar, which was very strong on Friday, had a bit of follow-through today against most currencies, and then those gains were pegged back a bit towards the close. Precious metals, which were weak on Friday, were weak in here again today. Silver down 30 cents, platinum down 13 and a half, but it bounced back quite strongly from the lows of the day. Gold bullion is down to 946. That's down nearly $9. And among the agricultural commodities, the sugar run and orange juice run continued in here today, and the Arabica coffee. I was going to say that was stronger. I see that's come off here on the day. It had been stronger, but weakened towards the close. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we had those extremely good gains following the reaction lows in the first half of July. It was really in the first week for the most part in July. And then, as you know, stock markets went on a bit of a roll. That's all in line with the overall bullish hypothesis that we have been advocating. Subsequently, some of those lead markets have appeared overextended. In particular, China. You remember it had the key day reversal and the week before lost, and then last week it climbed back up to the high but then backed off again. This looks very much to us as if it's over in the short term, and I will emphasize in the short term. And we could see a short to medium term consolidation here. That's what I expect, a bit of a mean reversion process. And if you look at the chart of the mainland China indices in the library, look at a weekly chart and put up the 200-day moving average, and you'll notice that that's moving up now quite quickly. And what we really expect is sort of a sideways to possibly lower ranging action on the actual index itself. This is not something to become overly worried about in our view. There has been a fair amount of China hysteria in the press for quite some time, talking about property bubbles and stock market bubbles and misallocation of funds and too aggressive monetary expansion and so on. Well, there's never smoke without some fire. Certainly, it's been a very strong performer among stock markets, got a little bit ahead of itself. But we think that much of the move was justified on the basis of the fundamental background. China is on course for an 8% GDP growth rate this year. Yes, the valuations are a little bit ripe, but they're looking for an average of 30% gains next year, and I wouldn't bet against that actually occurring. The government will move, as it has in the past, to curb bubbles in the property market and also in the stock market. But you know what? I wouldn't be at all surprised if before this is all said and done with, for this stock market recovery to bull market cycle, the one that started last October with the ending of the bear market and the beginning of the bottoming out and base building process for many other stock markets, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the China A-share indices move to new highs above their 2007, 2008 highs before this is all finished. But we will see. At this stage, I'm not looking for anything worse than a pullback and consolidation, and that's what Owen and I have been saying for really quite some time. The resources markets continue to do well, and that was true of Brazil here again today. Australia has come on a lot in the last few months, and some of the Asian emerging markets, which have big representations in the agricultural commodities, thinking now the Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, these have done extremely well here of late. But there is a risk that we see. Well, how much of a risk is this? I think we could see some choppy action, some more ranging action in terms of consolidations over the next few months, partly due to some temporary overextensions following the recent gains, and that usually is followed by a consolidation, which is a healthy process overall. It allows the market to catch breath, regroup, a little bit of profit taking to occur, some new support to be built within the overall upward trend. And there's also the factor that I've mentioned before on a number of occasions, we both have, and that is as these well, as investors pass through the anniversary of last year's stock market meltdown, and that may cause a few jitters overall. So we need to watch out for that. I don't think one needs to be selling aggressively in here or necessarily at all against that background, but what I would not want to do is to chase anything higher in this environment. There are always pullbacks in markets, and that's the time to buy. But I think downside risk again is limited to at reversion to the mean in terms of a pullback towards the now rising 200-day moving averages. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, they haven't been very good performers in recent months. We've seen selling pressure. Certainly, as stock markets rally strongly, we see some selling pressure there. However, we do know that in the OECD countries that we are have been seeing quantitative easing, and the governments have been buying for their own account. That includes the Bank of England, it includes the ECB, it includes the Fed in the USA, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see further government buying of their own long-dated paper in an effort to keep long-term interest rates down. So that's the background. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to see any real excitement in the long-dated government bonds, but we do expect prices to rise. I beg your pardon. We do expect yields to rise. Say that again. We do expect yields to rise for long-dated government bonds over the longer term. And elsewhere, currency markets. Well, the dollar had those big upward dynamics on Friday, and the dollar had been pretty weak up till that point, as you may well recall. So that's checked the slide for a while, and it may keep the dollar range bound for a little bit longer, but the performance against the resources currencies in particular has not been all that good, and I think it's unlikely that we will see a significant dollar rebound. But again, that short term, that upward dynamic again on Friday that I mentioned, that has certainly checked the slide here in the in the short term. But the best part of that move occurred against the euro and also against the yen. The yen does look like a weak currency to us once again. Now, what else to mention? Precious metals. Now, they are very much range bound. They've come in for some profit taking last week and today, and that's consistent with that overall ranging activity because the week before last they'd done very well on the upside, and that carried into the beginning of last week. My guess is that we have replaced a short-term overbought condition following good rallies with what's beginning to look like a short-term oversold condition for the precious metals. In terms of the bullish medium-term script that we have, I would prefer personally not to see the last reaction lows taken out, and they're not under any pressure in here right now. But a little bit of choppy, nervous activity overall. That medium-term picture that I'm talking about is gold, for instance, in the 17th month of another one of its long consolidation phases. We have seen this within the long-term secular upward trend for gold, where it gets these sort of 17, 18-month consolidations ranging sideways, during which a lot of people lose interest. And these have been resolved in the last two instances with upward breaks in September. So, could that happen again? Well, quite possibly. I don't know why we've had that. I'm reluctant to say that it's anything other than coincidence, but coincidence within what is clearly a long-term upward trend for gold and many of the other precious metals. If gold does it again, I expect silver and platinum to outperform on the upside. Crude oil, and this remains steady here overall above $70. That's the NYMEX price. The Brent price is even firmer, and this looks to us to be the upper range near this, just over the $70 level, the upper boundary of what looks like the first step above the base. And if you look at the crude oil charts, and I've posted them again today, you can clearly see the base formation, and I put it up in point and figure as well. Stands out very clearly. And it's not at all uncommon to see a ranging consolidation, which can last for several weeks to a few months above the base formation. And those patterns tend to be very reliable continuation patterns. So once we get another upward break out of these current ranges by crude oil, I think we will see another step upwards within its medium to longer term upward trend. The quicker crude oil moves higher, the more of a headwind that will pose for the global economy. It's not a headwind at present, but I certainly expect to see it become a headwind. And at some point, although hopefully not much before 2010, but the markets will tell us. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.